timing.
Hello and welcome to Expected Own Goals, the ambiance of California Pizza Kitchen Stadium before us. We are here to do our championship preview. I am your host, Eric Morgan.
I'm Evan Davis. Yeah, we are in the background of the Orlando Pride taking their training as we sit in the stands of CPKC Stadium, joined by the one and only Andre Carlisle. Hi, Andre.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You didn't think you were necessarily going to be here this week.
I did not. Yeah. But I'm here, which is wild, and I'm tired, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't need a lot of energy for this show.
No.
The Spirit finished second in the league.
Yes.
They're here playing in the championship game. I don't think necessarily that the team in November of 2024 is quite the same team that they were in March of 2024, either by personnel or just by their identity more broadly. Like, how have you seen this team evolve over the course of 8 months?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hefty question because it's been a lot of evolving. I mean, yeah. Two head coaches, obviously different styles to the way that they play, different, so many injuries and other players having to step up. The team is in a very different phase, but the wild thing is that they've just seemed to deal with it and like, okay, we just need to be a really gritty team that hangs in the games and finds a way to win, which is slightly in that aspect, alone, reminiscent of 2021.
Yeah.
But like the fact that they've been able to do it and they have the personalities to do it, like Hal Hirschfeld has been a massive personality to do such a thing. And it's kind of been wild to see them get this far so soon.
We had you on earlier this year to preview this Spirit season, and
you
were apprehensive. You began by describing the 2023 Washington Spirit as like that quote from the Joker about a dog chasing a car,
yes.
Wouldn't know what to do with it,
yes.
when it caught it. Yeah, so this Spirit team, I think, has defied a lot of people's opinions about what was possible for them.
Yeah.
What do you see as the major moves during the season that solidified why we have a finalist in the Washington Spirit?
Honestly, a lot of the work that they did in terms of bringing in the rookies that they brought in was massive. I mean, Hirschfeld, as we know, but also McKenna Morris has been great. But even players like Heather Stainbrook and Courtney Brown did not come like highly rated or anything or from big programs, but they've been able to fill in. So that's part of it. And then also, we would not be here without the work that they did in the summer to bring in Rose Kouassi and Lacey Santos. Two extremely good players who have fit in very well and done things the Spirit have needed them to do. I don't think the idea was to rely on them quite this much, but with so many injuries, they've kind of had to. And Rose has been incredible, and Santos just decided to juggle her way through Gotham's press, which is a thing I hadn't seen all season. So, like, yeah, that's been super important.
What are the main tactical differences that you can see, since you are in the stadium 13 times a year, between what Adrian Gonzalez was putting in place and then what Jonah Hernandez was doing when he finally got his feet on the ground? Theoretically, it's supposed to be a continuum, the same coaching staff, the same identity, the same ideas. But I think we can all agree they played differently once Hernandez showed up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the primary thing is I think Adrian was doing more like set the defensive base, like set the foundation of the team defensively. And then when Hernandez got here, it was more like he always talks about the pockets, which we always talk about, just finding players in the pockets, just on top of that, in the box, in front, in between the defense and the midfield, finding those spaces. And that's something that you've seen a lot in Barcelona, see them do. The Spirit aren't doing it quite to that extent yet because how can you? They don't really have the ability to have a squad that costs what Barcelona's cost. But they've been doing it, and they've been finding ways to get players the ball in those spaces. But also, when those spaces are denied, they have the adjustments. And so those in-game adjustments have been really important. Like, again, I believe it was BayFC who clogged those spaces with not allowing those half spaces to be filled. So the Spirit started going out wide. And then after that happened, it changed the game. And it was something that needed to happen for the Spirit. And they can do that because of Jonah.
Their attacking identity, I think, across both coaches, but certainly under Hernandez, has been transitioning in attack through the middle. That is their bread and butter.
Yeah.
Since Croy Bethune went down with her knee injury, and Lacey Santos came in, and then Lacey Santos went out again.
Yes.
They have found those pockets of transition, but have seemed to be very comfortable using players like Kouassi or Robin as not only as a player to attack the box, but as someone who can also be a progression node on the right channel.
Yeah.
What advantages have you seen them gain by emphasizing more width, if not out of desire, but certainly out of necessity?
the advantage is that you have two wingers, basically, essentially, that are just impossible to match up 1v1. If you have a coach who can get them the ball in space, isolating defenders, again, I spare a thought for Gotham's fullbacks.
Yeah.
It was not a fun day for them, and it was all because of what they were able to do in getting Kwasi and getting Rodman faced up 1v1, and they're really hard to mark. So I think it's just the strength that this team has. They don't have it in the center anymore, even though Lacy Santos is great. Croy Bethune was really an unreal player. It's why she won Rookie of the Year and Midfielder of the Year, because she was absurd. But they don't have that. They don't have Saar and her hold-up play as well. Hatch has been good from a goal-scoring perspective, but the strengths are out wide.
Yeah. I think we saw that laid bare, as you hinted at, and I had voiced some concern when Jess Carter joined the league that this league was going to be more challenging for her just on a physical level.
Yeah.
We saw Kwasi absolutely put Jess Carter in her pocket and run her ragged that entire game.
Yes.
Was that something that surprised even you, and did it reframe the way you think about players coming into this league from other leagues?
No, it didn't surprise me, only because I've been watching Rose do ridiculous shit ever since she came into the league. She just hasn't scored. That's really the funny thing. She's been that threatening.
I was shocked. I was like looking at her FBRF page, and I was like, wait, she hasn't put it in the back? How is that possible?
I don't know. Yeah. I kind of do know. Like, she was rushing a lot, and so her shots were really poor.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until Gotham were her cleanest strikes that she's had on goal so far. So it's coming. It's not that she can't shoot. It's just that she's now a bit more comfortable, which is kind of dangerous that she was that effective without actually being a direct goal threat. But she's been creating so many chances. Key passes, XG. I think I looked at her XG assistant. It's 2.58 15 games.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Or not even 15. I'm sorry. It's like 7.790s or something. It's wild.
I think quite comfortably we could all sit here and agree, player for next year to explode onto the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's putting the pieces together. If you were picking a fantasy team for 2025, Rose Kwasi, you would not want to look past that player. That said, we are going into a final against an Orlando team that will prove quite difficult for her to find space in. They contained Temwa Chiwenga in a way no one else has contained Temwa Chiwenga this season. What are your fears, if you're the Spirit, about this particular Orlando team and these upcoming matchups?
Everything. I mean, I don't mean to be like, you know, kind of like, but
my heart goes out to your cortisol levels, but it's going to be spiking.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando's been incredible. They've been great all season, but this is going to be the Spirit's toughest test. I mean, the defense is legit. They're extremely good, extremely patient and organized. They don't get into track meets, and when if the other team wants to get into a track meet, they say, cool, we got Banda, we got Marta, we got Ali Watt running the channel. Good luck with that.
Right.
And so it's just going to be really difficult. And like you mentioned, like, isolating the fullbacks in those wide spaces, that's not going to happen. I think the reason why it worked so well against Gotham is because they basically used Gotham's press against them. They said, okay, you're coming after us. We're going to go to the other side of the pitch. And now, look, we have a 1v1 with your fullback. Good luck with that one. We'll take our chances.
Orlando doesn't take the bait.
Yeah, Orlando's not going to do that. And so how the Spirit can counter that, Santos will help. Hal Hirschfeld's going to have her best in-possession passing, forward-passing game. And we just haven't really seen a ton of that since she's been the lone six. So it's going to be a tough one.
I think that Hirschfeld has proved interesting. Like, I wasn't convinced that she could play as a single pivot, and she's done pretty exceptionally, but when she is going to be sitting in that, like, defensive third pocket, essentially, with Banda and Marta cutting off passing lanes from the front, and then finding absolutely no space behind when Angelina and McCutcheon get set, how do you see her maybe finding some kind of wrinkle or catching Orlando in a mistake? Like, where is the weakness to try and get the ball through the middle?
I honestly don't think you can.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have to be, like, maybe Santos drops deeper and maybe you can try and use her as get the person who you get the ball to, and then she makes that longer key pass up front or forward to either the wide spaces. But I just think it's a massive task to ask Hirschfeld to do that against this defense. And I think that's nothing against her. I think it's a massive task to ask anybody to do that against this defense. They have not allowed it the majority of the season.
Yeah.
And I don't see a way to go through, which is why I say that I think it's going to have to be the wide areas. But again, even that, you're going to have to get Orlando panicked in a way that they haven't shown the capacity to like, another team hasn't shown the capacity to make them panic.
I've thought sometimes that, especially in these later rounds of the playoffs, is your young fullback maybe a place to target, you know? Mm-hmm. And Corey Dyke has cemented her place at right back after a lot of rotation, and talking to both head coach Seb Hines and GM Haley Carter this week, they both have a lot of confidence in Dyke. Yeah. But is that potentially an area where Kouassi can use her unpredictability, some off-ball running, to try and get Dyke stretched and open up some space in a channel?
I think it's their best chance. The wild thing is that if you look at the numbers, like, defensively, Dyke's been she's been their best fullback.
Yeah, very much so.
She's been so good, especially 1v1, which is something you don't expect from a rookie playing that position in this particular league that throws at ridiculous wingers, ridiculously skilled and fast wingers at you pretty much every single match. For her to put up the defensive numbers she's put up is kind of scary. Have I seen anybody really have that kind of success against Kouassi yet? No. Would I be surprised if it's Corey Dyke? Kinda.
Yeah.
But also, even if she gets beat, I think they also, Orlando does a good job of covering for each other. So
right.
I don't think they're going to kind of leave their fullbacks on islands the way that Gotham did. So the best thing is to try it. Maybe you get her into foul trouble, the way they're foul trouble, like I'm talking about basketball, but maybe you get
foul trouble is really
card.
You get a yellow.
There you go. Exactly. Get the yellow cards out wide, and then maybe Orlando has to overcompensate if you get the ball in that space again, and then things open up. But again, this is all stuff that Orlando really hasn't allowed all season, so it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I mean, the projection models right now are basically sitting Orlando at about 55-56% to take it, and Washington at about 45%.
Does that feel somewhat surprising to me that it's
in that you feel like it's that high or that low for Orlando?
I feel like that's a little low for Orlando.
A little low.
Yeah, but
the models are split. So one model actually thinks that Orlando is a 55-45 underdog. Wow. And another thinks they're a 67-33 favorite, which also I think tells you that really depends on like what these kinds of projection models care about.
Yeah.
Because the margins really are so fine among all the top four teams.
Yeah.
Which of those numbers though feels right, or do you feel like you should split the difference?
I'm tempted to cop out and say split the difference.
Yep.
I mean, I really am, because I'm just glad that this is the final we got. You know, like, I'm excited that this is the final that we got, because I heard a lot of people talking about, like, Kansas City, Orlando should have been a final. Like, those teams were so good all season. That game happens, and what did we learn? Orlando's better. Feel like we learned that earlier in the season. And so I would like to see Kansas City maybe add some pieces and get to the point where they can make this kind of a real rivalry against Orlando. But I don't think the third installment of that match really was, like, we got great goals out of it, but I think we deserve to see kind of a different challenge in how these teams, how whatever team made the final was going to be pushed. And I think this is a great matchup for just viewers to watch,
mm-hmm.
and will showcase a lot of really good in the league. But yeah, I just think that Orlando's been unreal, and the Spirit are going to have to do something again that hasn't been done before.
I personally thought that before the semifinal, KC was the best team, and Orlando was basically right behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to be, that should have been the marquee matchup of the season. But it's really not possible to argue after what Orlando did.
Yeah.
Specifically because, yes, it's one game in a knockout round, but also they clearly learned from the first two matches how to beat Kansas City, and Kansas City didn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
They didn't figure out the counterpunch. So it's impossible for anyone to say that Orlando doesn't deserve to be here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially the season they've had. I mean, it's absolutely like record-breaking season in terms of, and the fact that we're talking about the Orlando Pride.
The Orlando
like this.
Yeah.
That just is wild to me. It's one of the best stories in sports, not just soccer, not women's soccer, sports period.
Agreed.
What they've managed to do. And it's awesome. And I love the fact that they're in the final. I think they deserve it, obviously. And I'm really excited to watch this team. I mean, the storyline for Marta alone is incredible, and kind of makes, like, if you're a neutral, you're not. Orlando is your team that you want to win because of Marta.
Yeah, I was thinking the Barbara Banda problem seemed like it was less of a problem in, say, the post-Olympics portion of the season.
Yeah.
The playoffs began. She puts up 2.87 XG on seven shots against Chicago, scores twice. She has two huge goal contributions against Kansas City.
Technically three.
Three if you count the ghost run, So my question to you is, what if you're going to put on your little Jonathan Giraldez cap, what do you do about Barbara Panda?
Oh my God, I don't know. The only thing I will say is that when the spirit first played them, Panda did not like how physical and how close Tara got to her. Mm-hmm. That's kind of Tara's strength. She's a very strong center back. Used to be a forward, which is ridiculous, but she's very strong. When she gets players close, she still has that forward like first step to where you can't really spin her or get around her. She can stick with them. And she was doing that to Banda, and it was kind of like, oh, this is interesting. And then Banda said, okay, but you have another center back on the other side that I'm just going to torment. And she did that. That center back now is probably going to be Esme Morgan. She hasn't been in the league long enough, I don't think, to be able to tell specifically how she's going to be able to cope with something like that. But in terms of just the sheer physicality, I don't think she's ever faced anything like this. And it's going to be very difficult if she ends up being the one marked, which is why I kind of think Casey Krueger is in a really interesting spot. She's going to have to stop Allie Watt, who's got 3 assists these playoffs, and she's going to have to keep an eye on Morgan if she's happened to be in a 1v1 battle with Banda. I don't know how you can do both.
Right. Even for somebody like Casey Krueger.
Yeah, she's exceptional, but like stopping Watt would be like amazing. But
side note on Esme Morgan, spent most of her time at fullback when she was in Man City. She's been playing as a center back mostly here to get Enegbutel on the bench and to get Casey Krueger and Gabby Carl on the field at the same time.
Yeah.
Mattire's also been rotated in a lot fairly recently. What have you made of those defensive rotations? How have you seen Morgan's very early, very nascent progress as an NWSL center back?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's integrated into the team very well in possession. She's so good on the ball and picking passes. I mean, some of the passes she was playing, especially helping to move the ball centrally, has been really, really good. And so I'm excited about that aspect of it. Holding up defensively, physically in this league is going to require Don Scott to, like, maybe an off-season workout plan, maybe throughout the season. She's going to need to continue to build up. She is a very slight player. She uses more of her positioning than kind of the physicality. That's not really an option against some players in this league, which is why we love it. You can try and do that, but Banda's just going to, you're going to end up in a 1v1 battle with Barbara Banda at some point.
Yeah.
And you have to at least hold up long enough to where you can either give her a bad angle or somebody can come and help.
Yeah, we've seen her sort of, again, Chicago undressed the defense via pace, and against Kansas City and poor Kayla Sharples, undressed the defense with power.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, McKeown in that second game, if I'm right, conceded an own goal.
Yeah, she scored the own goal, which was a really gross deflection. It was one of
those, not her fault,
going to go in, but it happened to the deflection, which also made the Spirit team mad because they, if you look at the lineup they played in that match, that's like, that was the one of the weirdest lineups they ever played, and is because of so many injuries and how Hirschfeld got a yellow card accumulation suspension for that game
the
match prior, so she didn't play in that one. So they had a lot of issues in that one.
Final score prediction?
I've been saying it everywhere, and I have to just stick with it. I think Orlando 2-0. I just feel like Orlando's ready for this game. They're like more ahead of, they're more where they should be. This feels very ahead of schedule for the Spirit. If the Spirit had Saar, if they had Croy Bethune, if they had Andy Sullivan, I would probably feel a lot better and be like, all right, let's go. Let's see what happens now.
Yeah.
But without those players, at some point it has to matter. Right. And it hasn't mattered yet, so I'm kind of running out of games for it to matter.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's going to matter now.
Yeah, I think that's the resilience point that's been so incredible.
Yeah.
If you could have one of those three players back for this particular matchup, who do you want back?
You know my answer.
I think I do know your answer.
Croy Bethune.
Yeah.
I always want Croy Bethune. I understand the caveat. You tried to get me to like think through it with this particular game, and I appreciate that because maybe a smarter person says like Andy Sullivan or something else. But to me, Croy has been unreal. And if you need to find a way to pick through the center of somebody's defense, you need her on the pitch. And this is the thing that we just talked about. And Croy does not, without Croy, nobody else can fill that role. She's been unreal this season. And it's just been tough. So, yeah, I would want Croy on the pitch anytime you give me the option.
I think the big part about missing Croy right now is it would occupy the headspace of both Haley McCutcheon and Angelina.
Yeah.
It would distract and cause problems in transition. I think if Washington is to be effective in this game, Lacey Santos kind of has to put together the game that Croy Bethune would naturally put together here, which is to say, get Orlando playing deeper than they'd like to, force them into predictable one-directional long ball play.
Right. Yeah.
And see what McKeown can do with Banda.
Yeah.
And see what Aubrey Kingsbury can do Aubrey Kingsbury herself was a massive game changer, put up the best G plus for a goalkeeper all season against Gotham.
Yeah, she was unreal in that game.
So if you're going to penalties, how are you feeling? Like, if you get there, are you feeling good, or are you on your third bottle of Pepto-Bismol?
Oh, yeah, I'm probably on my fifth bottle of Pepto-Bismol if we go to penalties.
Beard's going to be all white by the end of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a real problem, because I don't know how you can ask somebody or expect any goalkeeper to replicate the kind of performance that you had against Gotham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, the Spirits, it wasn't really talked a lot about, but the Spirits' penalty takers were interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I know Hatch would go first because Hatch is a penalty specialist, but then Lena Solano was next. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Center back Tara McCown was next. I have no idea who three or who four and five would have been, but we heard that Aubrey Kingsbury herself would have been sixth. So, like, I don't know what the order is for the Spirit. I'm kind of interested to see it, but do I want to see it? No, I don't.
Yeah, I think we're interested in seeing a lot of things, and if you're a Spirit fan, or frankly even a Pride fan, I wouldn't wish the stress on anyone.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Andre, it's so great to talk to you again. To start and at the end of the season. Yeah. If you want to follow us and you haven't already, please do so. Rate us, review us, give
us
5 stars.
You're not getting out of here without your own prediction.
That was kind of slick.
Nice try, buddy.
Shut up. 1-1 and it goes to penalties.
Why would you do that to me?
1-1, it goes to penalties. And who wins?
Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, you've been on the Washington thing. I join Andre on this one. I actually think 2-0 feels just about right. I could see 3-1. Mm-hmm. I think this game opens up if Orlando scores early, and then suddenly you have a game that looks a little bit more like the Kansas City game. So, yeah, I think maybe 3-1 to Orlando here. Maybe we'll get...
Perfect timing. Yeah. We're being thrown out of the stadium, so thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.